Welcome back to the Tan and J-Man Show on this hot and steamy Monday afternoon. I'm the J-Man. How you doing tonight there, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. Hope you had a good Father's Day yesterday. Good deal. Good deal. Hope everybody, all the fathers out there, had a good Father's Day yesterday. Glad the heat's starting to come into play. It's officially summer come Friday. On the 20th, so I believe, at least here in Fort Wayne, supposed to hit in the 90s over this upcoming weekend. So
yeah, I saw highs this weekend in like the 95, 96 range. Good pool weather. It's about it, though. I don't like going outside when it's above 90 degrees anymore. I'm an old man.
No, I'm right there with you. And unfortunately, you know, there's yard work that needs to be done.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All that stuff. And it's like, of course. Right when it's getting really hot.
Yeah. But, and I've reached the age and the follicle impairedness that's
one of the more impressive things you've ever said in the history of this podcast.
That my doctor has told me I need to start wearing a hat outside. So that's great for me because I used to be a big hat guy.
Yeah,
back in high school. And then for some reason, I haven't been wearing hats. I don't know. I don't know why. I just kind of gave up on the hats, and now I'm going to have to bring out the bucket hats this summer. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely a hat guy, but I think it's hurting my hair game in some extent a little bit. But I just feel if I'm out somewhere non-work related, I feel almost naked without a hat. It's weird.
Yeah. I'm blaming my lack of hair on wearing all those hats.
I like it.
But I know it's just my bad genes. It's my bad genes, and the fact of my DNA as well as my mom's dad's name was Gene, so bad gene.
There we go. Do you have some birdie? Oh, I got some, wow.
You got some birdie.
I
bogey.
Got some birdie or bogey.
Hey, oh yeah. I started panicking there for a half second. I'm like, no, I don't have some birdie bogey.
I got it this week. It's baseball related. I do have to bring it up on my phone so I don't butcher it. There has been one player in the history of the MLB that has won a batting title once in three different decades. Name that player.
Man. There's been so many good hitters. Three different decades that won a batting title. Man, so that person had to have been around forever. I guess technically they could have only been around 12 years or so. I mean, say it's, yeah. Good question.
Not getting anything out of me. I know your game.
Yeah, man. I was trying to pry a little bit. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, great cocktails, casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, this past Thursday, they had Taco Thursday going on. They had, I hope I pronounced this right, Birria tacos.
Birria. Delicious.
For $3. And then they had burrito bowls for $18.
Nice.
So, yeah, all loaded up with all the toppings you want. So, and I think they've been doing a lot of different taco nights. I know Wednesday night last week was ramen night. They're having happy hours. We said that last week. It's Tuesday through Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m. Half off appetizers, $3 off adult beverages. That's their happy hour. And so they got their summer menu. Their menu always looks good, and we're not just saying that year round, but their summer menu especially looks really, really good.
I love myself some beef birria tacos. It comes with like a consommé, like you know how
it says beef consommé right there.
Yeah, you have like your au jus when you have like roast beef or like prime rib or anything like that. It's kind of like that. You dip your taco in there. It is very flavorful.
I've actually had that now that you as you explained it. I've had that and it is very good. I haven't had it at Arlington, but I've had it at other places.
Yeah, neither.
So yeah, that the picture looks awesome. So stop on by. Like J-Man said, they're on Main Street in Rochester, and you're not going to be disappointed no matter what you get to eat or drink, for sure. So, All right, J-Man. Well, the NBA finals are still going on. Game 5 is tonight, and it will be tipped off shortly after we're done with this podcast. Good series so far. Fights 2-2. If you're rooting for the Pacers or a Pacer fan, you're probably pretty disappointed. It's 2-2, to be honest. Looked like they had that game pretty and well in wraps going into the fourth quarter, except they did let an 11-point lead slip to 7 right there at the end of the third. That kind of helped the Thunder get a little momentum. Back-and-forth game the other night in Gainbridge Fieldhouse Friday night, but the Thunder pull it out. So now it's 2-2 going back to OKC for Game 5. And if the Pacers would have won Game 4, I honestly think they were going to win the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if we were to ask Pacer fans, you know, last weekend or before the final started, if it was 2-2 heading into Game 5, would you take it? And I think every single one of them would say, heck yeah, I'd take it. But yeah, definitely the way it kind of happened, it kind of evens out, though, after, you know, coming back from a big deficit in Game 1. That's kind of how my brain works. Come back from a big deficit, Game 1, win in OKC. Game 4, blow a semi-big, you know, lead and lose. So it's, okay, evens out, essentially. And so, yeah, they played really well on Wednesday night to get a 2-1 lead. But, yeah, I think it's more of a it slipped through their fingers, and that's kind of how Pacer fans are feeling right now. And but still, I mean, you're in still a good-ish spot. You do, you know, play 2 of the next 3, assuming it goes 7, which it could just go 6, on the road, which will be tough. But man, if they can somehow steal Game 5, I think they're cooking then.
If they steal Game 5 tonight, I think they wrap it up at home in Game 6.
Yeah.
I mean, if it goes 7 and goes back to OKC, I don't see them getting that. But I think any Pacer fan, if you offer them right now the option of would you, you know, you don't offer them a win or loss scenario, but you offer them guaranteed Game 7, they're signing up for it right now.
Right. And honestly, I kind of like playing those Game 7s on the road. It's weird. But I think the crowd will have a nervous energy. I think the Thunder could then potentially come out tight. And that's kind of what you want. I mean, we've seen it countless times where, you know, the home team in a Game 7 or winner take all just plays tight because they can feel that nervous energy from the crowd. And obviously, it's not preferred. You'd prefer to play at home regardless of all that. But sometimes we've seen it happen. So if they were to split the next two, I think Pacers would feel pretty dang good. Going into a Game 7.
Yeah, this series is starting to remind me a lot of the OKC-Denver series. Mm-hmm. You know, Denver stole a couple early they probably didn't deserve.
Right.
And they were up 2-1 and had a lead there in Game 4. OKC found a way to get it done and tie it up. Series ended up going 7 games. OKC ultimately blew Denver out in Game 7. But this series has reminded me a lot of that series. And the other night, really, I mean, I thought OKC ramped up their defense in the fourth quarter, made life really tough for the Pacers on the offensive end of the floor. I thought SGA took over late in the game. Now, Scott Foster and crew maybe gave him a few whistles, but MVPs get those whistles. And superstars also get those whistles.
Scott Foster gives those whistles, too.
He does. He does. He does. And I thought the Pacers just stopped rebounding the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, Miles Turner was kind of the goat in the bad sense on Pacers social media the other night. But, I mean, man, you're 6'10", 6'11". Get in there and rebound the ball.
Yeah, it's been that way his entire career, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't average more than 6-7 rebounds a game. He seems like a guy that should be averaging close to double digits, if not in double digits. So, yeah, I don't know what that's about, but it's been that way. And I know he's been the source of ire for a lot of Pacer fans.
Right.
Especially our guest last week, Travis. I remember for years he's been tweeting about Miles Turner, how he's soft and all of that. So it's kind of reared its ugly head in the finals now.
He had a tweet right after the game the other night and tagged him in it. pretty much telling him stellar job pretty much on the boards, put it nicely. But the GameBridge was rocking for game three and game four. It will definitely be for game six, win or lose tonight, but particularly if the Pacers find a way to win tonight.
Yeah.
And everybody listening to this podcast, since the audio is not dropping so tomorrow, they're going to either laugh at our takes right here, or we're going to be looking pretty smart. So I don't know. I don't feel good for it. I don't feel good about it on the Pacers end tonight.
No, it'll be interesting to see if the Thunder can maintain that level of defense that they played in, the fourth quarter. Because they do that all game. They're probably not losing anyone in the NBA.
Right.
But it's probably unsustainable to do that as well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Carlisle and the boys will have some adjustments for them. But now this is, game five. There's not much they can really throw at them that's going to surprise them at this point. So they know each other very, very well. And a lot of times talent wins out, and that would be edge to the Thunder. But again, coming back game five, you find yourselves down again. It's going to be tough. I mean, you can't just expect to come back in these games, which I guess the same could be said for the Pacers. They've had so many
Like
wins as well. Yeah. So I fully anticipate a very close game, really over the next three, if it should go all seven.
Well, yeah, the Pacers, and you were just saying, OKC can't dig themselves in the hole. The Pacers can't do that either. They did that both previous games in the series in OKC. Mm-hmm. Game one, heroically, they climbed out. Game two, it was pretty much over by halftime.
Yeah, and I think the Pacers had their one kind of moment with that comeback, and the Thunder are not going to let it happen again.
Sure.
So it was kind of their one scare. So say the Thunder gets up double digits by the end of the first quarter, could be a real long one for Indiana.
Well, and what's scary for the Pacers the other night, OKC only hit three threes the whole game in one on the road.
Yeah, 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 it was old school. They did it with defense and getting to the free throw line a bunch. But yeah, it was almost I didn't watch any of it, so I'm kind of a box score surfer at this point when it comes to the NBA Finals. But seeing just three threes made kind of warmed the heart a little bit. It's better than watching the Celtics shoot 70 of them every single game.
Yeah,
like they had to last year. But yeah, that's got to be incredibly frustrating. And I'm sure OKC got a ton of offensive boards, which is why every Pacer fan was very upset at Miles Turner. Because you miss a lot of threes, you're likely going to get some offensive boards.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're in this Pacer team, even though they have a miraculous season and they're two wins away in three games from being NBA champions, but it still feels like they're missing something.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a more consistent big guy. I just don't know. I can't put my finger on it exactly. My dad thinks it's still missing a superstar. He thinks Haliburton's a top 20 player in NBA, but top 20 isn't necessarily superstar level in his, in his opinion. So I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of agree with your dad. Yeah. I mean, Haliburton again, probably top 15, top 20. I would put him in the top, 3 to 5 point guards in the NBA for sure. And I don't know if it's just because he plays for the Pacers that we don't call him a superstar. I mean, he was, on the Olympic team. It seems like they need one more piece. I mean, Siakam's very, very good as well. Maybe it might be a good time to ship off a Miles Turner for a change of scenery sort of deal and pick up a big guy. That maybe better suits your defense and, of course, ability to rebound as well, because that's obviously been an issue in this series. But, yeah, they're a good team, but it does feel like something's missing. And, heck, they could still win an NBA title. And it still seems like they haven't really gotten any sort of respect whatsoever, even though they're in the NBA Finals. I mean, you have Stephen A. playing solitaire in the middle of middle of the game, and he's supposedly the NBA expert, getting paid $20 million a year. Must be very nice. They could still pull it out. I think the odds are very much stacked against them at this point. But again, as you said, if they were up 3-1, I think they'd ultimately close it out, but I still wouldn't have been surprised if it got to seven games.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's pretty fascinating the way this is played out, because I don't remember our predictions pre, I don't think I was there, for that show, but I was thinking maybe Thunder and five. And
I took Thunder and six.
Okay.
And I think my dad did as well. I think.
I probably would have been Thunder in five or six as well. But yeah, Pacers are hanging in there a lot better than I thought they would. Sure. And it's kind of nice to see two very small markets in the NBA Finals. And I have no idea how that's affected the ratings at all, TV ratings. And honestly, I couldn't give a rip. So.
I've seen on like social media a lot of people enjoying not only this NBA Finals but the NHL Finals.
Yeah, I have too.
Now Florida is up 3-2, I believe. So they're one win away, going back on home ice for back to back champs.
Yeah,
which just got to rip the heart out of from Canadians again.
But yeah,
except there's a lot of Canadians not rooting for Edmonton at the same time because they have so many teams up there.
Yeah, it is funny to see a very great hockey hotbed in Miami, Florida, beat the Canadians there.
Well, man, you got the Heat winning some rings down there. You've had the Marlins win a couple. You have the Panthers now red hot. Then you got the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's been a long time. 41 years since the last time they've been in a Super Bowl. 50 years since they won.
When Brady gets away from the division, here comes Josh Allen.
Here comes Joshy Allen. It's always something.
Going back to the Pacers, we were talking about, maybe it's time to trade Miles Turner or do something in the offseason. I think there's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing this offseason. And it started yesterday with Desmond Bane getting shipped to Orlando for pretty much nothing.
You think for pretty much nothing? I thought that was an absurd what they gave up for a guy like Desmond Bane. I mean, four unprotected first round picks.
Picks, I guess, yeah.
There's no guarantee that Orlando's going to be picking outside of the lottery.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
And I mean, player wise, they gave up what? Caldwell Pope, and I think it's Cole Anthony, the other guy they gave up. Yeah. I mean, Desmond Bane's good. I mean, but he's not. I mean, if that's what they're giving up for Desmond Bane, imagine what a team's going to have to get up to get Giannis this offseason should he actually push for a trade.
Well, and I was seeing an article that the Grizzlies, I mean, I don't know how serious they are about this, but they'll take calls for JJ and Ja.
Yeah, it feels like they're their window's closing already.
Yep.
I mean, they were pretty young, but Ja's had too many off-the-court issues. Jaren Jackson's got a lot of Miles Turner in him. He's a very good defender, but again, he's 6'10", 6'11". He's averaging 5-6 rebounds a game. Good shooter as well. They're comparable-ish players. Maybe the Grizzlies just need to tear it down or, build around our favorite Asian Canadian.
Yeah, Murray. Yes, well said.
He's hurt, though, isn't he?
He is hurt. He's got to miss the start of the year. He re-sprained an already sprained ankle bad enough to where he had to have surgery. So
being 7'4" and over 300 pounds walking on that every day has got to be pretty dang painful.
Look at big guys in the NBA and the history of foot ankle issues. I mean, it's a real thing. Did you see the Knicks are set for talks with Mike Brown and let's see here, Taylor Jenkins.
Brown,
Taylor Jenkins.
Is Taylor Jenkins Memphis? Was he the one that got fired? Fired midseason. Yeah. It's been very funny to watch them go after current head coaches and them pretty much all get denied.
Jason Kidd,
denied. Yeah. All of them. Even Billy Donovan, the Bulls, denied
the
that one.
Denied. Finch from the Timberwolves denied.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's been funny.
Quinn Snyder denied.
They can do a whole lot worse than Tibbs, and I don't think they can do much better.
At this point.
And I mean, the fact they're, interviewing two head coaches that got fired this year speaks volumes into that. And it sounds like Jalen Brunson's dad's become a bit of an issue as well, Rick, because he is on the coaching staff I believe he's on the coaching staff. And it's caused some issues.
Yeah.
Which shocker that has caused some issues.
And other NBA headlines, Kevin Durant prefers to land with the Heat, Spurs, or Rockets.
Yeah. I've obviously with following a lot of Dolphins guys on Twitter, beat writers and all that, a lot of them cover the Heat as well. And Barry Jackson said the Heat are unwilling to give up. Yeah. You know, they're willing to give up picks. They're unwilling to give up Tyler Hero. They love Khalil Ware as well. So without giving up those guys, they're probably not going to be able to swing it for Durant, even though they love, they like Durant, but at the same time, 36, 37 years old, you know?
Right.
It'd kind of be like one last hurrah and probably both Durant's career and maybe even Pat Riley's at this point, because he's getting older as well. But yeah, Durant's kind of forced himself out of a lot of places now.
It's going to be his fifth destination.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know if that's a him issue. 1,000% think it's a Jimmy Butler issue and he forces himself out because he's done it every single place he's ever been. Durant seems he's a more likable guy, in my opinion,
yeah,
than Jimmy Butler too. Is. But it's kind of similar situations.
Daryl Love here on Facebook said with crying laughing emoji, way to go Knicks, LOL. Yep.
Yeah. they are a friend. You know, I don't really care about the NBA at all. I mean, I follow it close enough to know what I'm talking about a little bit. They're my least favorite franchise in the NBA by far. I don't dislike any franchise more than the New York Knicks.
They're pretty unlikable.
Yeah.
They're pretty unlikable. So, and if I'm Durant, I think San Antonio would be a very interesting place to go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you obviously have Wemby. Don't know how healthy he's going to be, though.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox, fantastic point guard to play with.
Castle's good.
Yeah. They have good young nucleus there. Who's
no pop coach? Anymore. No pop.
Yeah. I was going to say, who's their head coach? I don't even know.
Let's see here. Spurs. I don't either. You should quiz me sometime on NBA coaches. I better get like 8 right.
Yeah.
Mitch Johnson.
Don't know.
He's 38 years old.
Huh. Nice. Yeah. Mitch Johnson. Yep. Yeah. Who was the other destination? Rockets.
Yeah. Who 2-seed, very young team.
Very young.
Just signed Steven Adams to a $39 million contract extension.
Yeah, those
he's not young, but
yeah, he's a good like role player, good yeah. teammate, all of that, but yeah. still 39 mil is a lot. Obviously Durant went to Texas for school.
Right.
He's from DC area. And the Wizards might be the most irrelevant franchise in the NBA at this point.
I think they could be the most irrelevant professional
franchise. Yeah.
And that's including the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah. Yeah. At least Rockies, it hasn't been that long since the Rockies were halfway decent.
I mean, man.
It seems like it's been forever since the Wizards were any good.
They've never made the conference finals in our lifetime, have they?
I can't imagine.
I don't think so.
They've barely made the playoffs in our life. I remember they beat the Bulls in round one of a playoff series, probably 2007-ish, before Rose got there, I think. 2006 or so.
I'm looking up the playoff history here.
Yeah, they were brutally bad this year. I don't think they won 20 games, did they?
I don't know the record off the top of my head, but it wasn't good. The last season they made it was 2020-2021.
Oh.
They made the playoffs. But since 2000, they've made it 9 times. They had 4 years in a row from 04 through 08.
Where they went 18-64 this year.
Jeez.
Which was the second worst record in the NBA. Utah, I didn't realize they were as bad as they were. They were 17-65.
And yet neither won the ping pong ball. For Cooper Flagg.
Well, there's a little bit of collusion going on there.
Absolutely.
A little corruption.
Absolutely.
Trade Luka to the Lakers. We will assure you that you will get the number one overall pick.
And you get Anthony Davis also.
Get Anthony Davis. Yep. Yeah. Then you can get Cooper Flagg, who has a chance to be as good as Luka.
Yep. Yep. So, it looks a lot sweeter right now than it did.
It's a little puzzling.
It's kind of like, did you hear Shaq a couple weeks ago came out and literally said that when he was coming out of college, David Stern pulled him aside and said, "Do you like warm weather or cold weather?" Said warm weather, Orlando gets number one pick.
Yeah. I've also heard him tell a story that he was down to LSU in Illinois, and he took a visit to Illinois in the middle of January, and that's what did it for him. So they missed out on Shaquille O'Neal because it was cold.
What was the tie there? Just being really good know. In the late 80s? Or?
Yeah, that I mean, yeah, he grew up or he was in high school watching, you know, Lionel Lionai. There was some sort of connection with the coaching staff, too, that they had known him. But, I've heard that story a lot. Illinois fans like to tell it.
Well, earlier when we were talking about, I know we're jumping all over the place, when we were talking about Desmond Bang, that's probably, in my opinion, one of Matt Painter's biggest recruiting whiffs. See, he would have came to Purdue in a heartbeat if he offered, but
if he were to come, he were to come, though, would they have still landed Carson Edwards?
Was that around the same time, was it?
I think it was the same recruiting class, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I remember when Carson Edwards wasn't the first offer for point guard. It wasn't even Bang either. It was, of course, Simpson that landed at Michigan. Oh,
Xavier.
There was the kid at Illinois.
Lucas, Tijon Lucas.
And then there was another one.
Stunk.
And they went after all four of them. And it was kind of one kid didn't take it, then Carson did. It was kind of like who jumped on it first.
Yeah.
Type scenario.
I think you did all right with Carson.
It worked out fine.
Yeah. Bane was good in college, but he wasn't as good as Carson was.
He was a lot better at TCU than I thought he would be.
Yeah, because he was like a three-star guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. And now he's been a lot better pro than I thought he would be. Yeah. So, good for him. But predictions for tonight's Pacers Thunder game and the next.
Will it end this week?
That's what I'm checking. That's what I'm checking.
They're having another two-game week. It has to because the draft is next Thursday. It's a week from
Thursday. Is it really?
Yeah.
Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Game 7 will be Sunday.
Thank the Lord.
If needed.
Speaking of the draft, Illinois, obviously, Yakachonis and Will Riley are in the draft, and they both got green room invites. So they are expecting, obviously, KJ is kind of a consensus top 10 pick, and Riley should be later half of the first round, and they got a 6th seed in the NCAA tournament. So that was kind of disappointing. But anyway, this will be the J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week. I think Thunder close it out in 6. I think they win tonight, and then they go to Indiana and beat them later in the week to close it out. I just think they're better. I think especially coming back from 11 down and then finding a way to win in that fourth quarter on Friday night really propels them forward, and they come out hot tonight. Make more than 3 threes, I'll tell you that much. You kind of have to. But, I think the Thunder get it done in 6. J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agency. It's by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. For life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance, contact Travis at 219-869-4561.
He's still a division of Indiana Farm Bureau, so you...
That's fair.
Technically weren't wrong there. So, and Travis did a great job joining us last week, and we'll have to have him back on if the Pacers do end up winning the NBA Finals, or if not, it'd probably be good to get some Irish perspective going into the college football season, since neither one of us like to talk about them very much. So,
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like that if we
did.
I think the Thunder get it done tonight. I think the Pacers get game 6 later this week, and then the Thunder ultimately get it done on Sunday, game 7. So I'm going against my original prediction of Thunder and 6. Still sticking with the Thunder, unfortunately. But I will play devil's advocate here, and everybody listening to this tomorrow or later on in the week's going to laugh here because I'm playing both sides of the fence here. But if the Pacers somehow win tonight, they win it in game 6 and win the NBA Finals.
Book it.
So you book it. Whoever wins tonight's winning the finals, ultimately.
I like it.
any other new NBA topics or discussions?
No, not that I can think of. Once the finals end, the off season starts real quick. I mean, it already kind of is with, as we said, the Bane trade. It won't be official till the league year, but it is funny. This is the only league where like trades actually happen during like championship, you know, week or anything. But then it'll be hot and heavy. And I think probably the biggest storyline is Durant heading into the offseason.
And Knicks coaching search.
Well, they'll shove that down our throat regardless if we think it's big or not. But
Yeah, it is crazy to me, the shelf life of NBA coaches anymore. It's worse than the NFL.
Yeah, it's bad. This is completely off topic, but going back to like Stephen A. and stuff like that, I haven't watched those stupid yelling talking head shows in a long, long time.
Like Eric Lee watches every day, and then he gets mad. Right. He gets mad, and I'm like, why? Like, you are the audience they are wanting.
Yeah.
You like get mad. He goes, these talking shows literally depend on who I root for or root against in sports anymore.
Because Awful Announcing tweeted a screenshot today that first take. They weren't talking NBA Finals. I'm sure they did. They weren't talking baseball. They weren't talking anything. That was, what is Dak Prescott's legacy right now? It has to be the Cowboys, too. They won't talk about any other team in the NFL except the Cowboys in the offseason. It is disgusting.
And the Cowboys are Hard Knocks this year, I believe, again.
I ain't watching it.
They haven't done anything since the mid-90s.
A long time. Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. We were 4 years old.
Yeah, I don't ever remember them being good. I mean, they've been good, but not.
We've never seen them in a conference championship.
No. I don't think they get there this year.
Mm-mm. Even though I did make a statement earlier this year on a pod that they might be one of my Super Bowl favorites, but I want to walk that one back. Even though on paper they should be pretty good. But that's a tough division. That's a very tough division.
Very tough. I mean, you got the defending Super Bowl champs in that division as well. I think and then Washington as well. Yep. On paper, they'll be the sexy Super Bowl pick. Washington Commanders will be, and I think they'll go something like 7-10.
I was gonna say, I can see them having a disappointing year.
Yeah, I think a lot of things went their way last year. So
Yep. We're about 2 months out still from heavy NFL talk, but it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, it will. Absolutely. I saw Scott Hansen keeps tweeting like every Sunday, how many weeks? I think it was like 12 more weeks or something like that until Red Zone returns. So.
We'll get there. Okay, I got, what is this from my dad? I never listened to Stephen A. Greeny's crew is irritating, as is Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright. That's fair.
Yeah, I don't like the Fox guys either. I don't like Nick Wright
at all.
I don't either. Well, he's a Chiefs guy. That's probably why I
don't like him. Colin, I don't like until he talks about his bro fest with Sean Payton. But even then, he doesn't have the Broncos being good this year. So I'm off the Coward bandwagon now.
Yeah, I've never liked Coward, never liked Stephen A., never liked Skip. I don't really know if I like any of those guys. Honestly, I don't like Greeny because he's a Jets guy.
He was so much better with Golic.
He was. That was an interesting situation.
That's back when, you know, ESPN Radio was king for talk show, you know, when we were in high school and stuff. And that's when, like, ESPN was still good.
Yeah.
Now it's been a long time. The guys they get rid of. And gals, it's a joke.
They get rid of actual, you know, writers and journalists in favor of these former athletes that have the dumbest takes known to man. And that's what they want. Rage bait.
Thad Moody on Facebook said, there's no walking back. Tanner picked the Cowboys and it's digitally stamped.
I like it.
Yep.
Locked in.
Makes me want to puke. But you want to get educated?
I do.
J-Man?
I need it.
Talk about some sporting events that have happened on June 16th. On this day in 1883, the first baseball ladies' day was played as New York Gothams beat the Cleveland Blues 5-2 at the Polo Grounds in New York City.
Man, New York Gothams is such a cool name.
It is, isn't it? On this day, 1909, Jim Thorpe made his pro baseball pitching debut.
He's a pretty good athlete.
With a 4-2 win, causing him to forfeit his Olympic gold medals.
He's a pretty good athlete.
He was a very good athlete. Ridiculously good. On this day, 1938, Boston first baseman Jimmy Fox is walked on a record six consecutive times by the St. Louis Browns. Red Sox still won 12-8.
I think we've had that one before, because I remember saying back in 2016, the Washington Nationals came to town to play the Cubs. Nationals were good, pretty good that year, but their one guy you obviously didn't want have beat you was Bryce Harper. And I want to say, in that four-game set, Joe Maddon and the Cubs walked him 10 times. He was not happy. They weren't all intentional walks, but they were, yeah. I'm going to have to go look it up real quick. But he walked a bunch that series.
Oh, well, Barry Bonds.
Yeah, they gave him the Bonds treatment.
Yep. I wish I had some of these on this day this week with golf, but I'll give them to you. On this day, 1946, who won the U.S. Open?
Sam Snead.
Good guess. It was World War II veteran Lloyd Mangrum defeated Byron Nelson and Vic, I don't even know how to pronounce the name, Gazee, I'm going to go with, in 36 playoff holes to win his only major title.
Nice.
On this day in 1951, who won the U.S. Open?
51, Byron Nelson. I just heard that name earlier.
Real good guess. Ben Hogan.
Oh, second, man. Second that was
the yeah, title. Yep. On this day, 1968, who won the U.S. Open?
Jack.
Lee Trevino won his first major title by four strokes over Jack Nicklaus. First to play sub-70 golf in Open history.
Really?
On this day in 1975, the NBA's Milwaukee Bucks trade Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Walt Wesley to L.A. for four players.
It was a bad deal.
It did not work out for the Bucks there. Let's see here. On this day, 1985, who won the U.S. Open?
Oh, man, that's got to be Jack, right?
Big Wisconsin Badger fan Andy North won by one stroke. It was his second U.S. Open victory. He was only a two-time major champ. I think he only won three or four total tournaments in his career. Wow. And two of them were U.S. Opens. And he goes to Badger games all over the place.
Yes. I just picked up, or just looked up, I should say, the Cubs Nationals in Wrigley in 2016. Cubs swept the Nationals. Nationals came into that series 19-8. And the Cubs swept them and improved to 24-6. Bryce Harper walked 14 times in a four-game set, including six times the final game of that series. Six times.
Yeah, that'd be frustrating.
Yeah, he was not happy by the end of it. You could really tell it was getting to him a little bit. He just wanted to hit.
On this day, 1993, Ken Griffey Jr. slugged his 100th career home run in Seattle.
Steroids.
On this day, 1995, Marlins outfielder Andre Dawson, his 400th NL career home run. He go on to hit 429.
It very weird to hear Florida Marlin Andre Dawson.
Yeah, I didn't even know he played for the Marlins, to be honest.
Yeah, he played there. I don't think he was there in 97 when they won it. He might have been.
Who won the NBA championship, the 50th NBA championship on this day, 1996?
96. That's Bulls, right?
The Bulls beat our Seattle Supersonics 4-2 to win their fourth title in 6 years.
Andre Dawson retired in 96. What a bad time to retire, a year before Marlins win.
Ouch. On this day in 1998, who won the Stanley Cup?
98, Detroit Red Wings.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, really? Went
back-to-back, defeating the Washington Capitals.
Nice.
For a 4-0 sweep.
Sweep.
On this day in 2002, who won the U.S. Open?
Tiger.
Tiger Woods won his second Open title, three shots ahead of runner-up Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson missed the cut by one stroke over the weekend. It was probably his last U.S. Open he ever plays in. Hmm. He doesn't have any exemption left in it. Of course, he plays in LIV now because that is the one major he's never won. He's finished runner-up six times in his career. And the USGA does not like Phil. So he's probably not going to be getting an exemption.
Yeah.
So that was probably his last crack at it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Choosing Tiger back in 2002 is probably like a 90% chance you're going to win. I'm going to get that one correct.
On this day in 2008, who won the U.S. Open?
2008. Who was good in 2008? Don't even have a guess for it. Tiger.
It was Tiger and the miraculous, maybe his most famous major win ever. He was pretty much playing on a broken leg and a torn ACL, and he shut it down after this tournament for the rest of the year because he could hardly walk. It was his third U.S. Open and his 14th major title. He beat Rocco Mediate on the 19th hole. So it was, they used to play 18-hole playoffs on the next day. It had to go 19 holes because they were still tied after 18 holes.
That's cool. So,
yeah. Yeah, I remember watching that.
Is it still an 18-hole playoff or just one?
Right. Nope, it's sudden death now. I don't know if it's one hole or three holes, but it's not 18 holes anymore. And a lot of times, those would rarely happen. If they did, one guy kind of comfortably won over the other, but yeah, that one was a classic. That's actually last time the U.S. Open has had a playoff.
Really?
Looked like we might get one yesterday at times, but it didn't happen. And on this day in 2013, who won the U.S. Open?
2013, was that Rory?
Was Justin Rose. Won his first major title, two strokes ahead of Jason Day and Phil Mickelson. on this day in 2015, who won the NBA Finals?
2015, that was Golden State Warriors.
Golden State beat Cleveland in six games. It was their fourth title in franchise history, the first one in 40 years. Who was the MVP?
Is that Iguodala?
Andre Iguodala. Who won the U.S. Open on this day in 2019?
Kapka.
Really good guess. You're good at getting the runner-ups.
Ah, shoot.
Gary Woodland claimed his first and only major title, three strokes ahead of defending champion Brooks Koepka. And who won the finals on this day in 2022?
22, Lakers won in 20, 22. Oh, was that the Warriors?
The Warriors beat the Celtics in six games. Fourth title in 8 years. MVP was Steph Curry.
Kind of came out of nowhere because they were so bad in 21 because they had injuries and then just bounced back and won it. It was crazy.
And lastly, who won the U.S. Open on this day last year?
Oh, I have no idea. Scotty?
Good guess. Bryson DeChambeau won a thrilling ending, winning by one stroke over Rory McIlroy last year. So,
oh, that's right. I was so close to getting my book it and breaking that streak. But I think my book it might have caused another curse for him. He's been terrible.
He's been bad. I mean, he made the cut. Barely. Right? Yeah. But he said he didn't care if he made the cut. He's been really mean to the media.
Yeah.
He threw a club the other day, smashed a T marker.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, he's something's going on. Something, I don't know if it's off the court. Something's going on. Something's not right there. And yeah, it's going to be fascinating because I don't know how he's going to do next month at the Open, even though that's right in his backyard where he's had success. And we got the Ryder Cup this year. There's a lot left to play for Rory. And Bryson missed the cut, so your book it might have put a curse on Bryson too. So we're gonna have to see.
Where's the Open at?
It is at, I think it's at Carnoustie, but let me see. It is at Royal Portrush.
Where's that at?
It is in Northern Ireland.
Okay.
Right in Rory's backyard. Yep. It's first time there since 2019.
How, like, was Oakmont as hard as you've ever seen?
Yeah. Awesome. I loved watching it to see the guys struggle. And real quick, I'll do the read real quick.
Okay.
Jump into it. And the other stage is brought to you by, like us every week, Mooney Wood Laser Crafts. They are a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. So now that Father's Day is over, get your Christmas orders in early. Early.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Going back to the U.S. Open, J.J. Spahn won his first major title, only his second career win ever.
Yeah.
First one in 3 years. He shot one under par, So the USGA got right around that even number, and it looked like it was going to be over par for a long time. That dude just showed some stones. It was a just ridiculously hard setup all week. The weather yesterday didn't help. Soaking up the course, you know, with condensation and everything, making it even difficult. The rough was just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made some of these guys look silly all week long. And JJ Spahn comes out and bogeys five of his first six holes yesterday, shoots a 40 on the front nine. Then the weather delay happens, and he comes out and shoots a 32 on the back.
Crazy.
And like Burns and Adam Scott did the opposite.
Yeah.
They were hanging in there after nine and just collapsed on the back nine. A lot of no names to the casual golf fan out there in this one towards the top of the leaderboard, but it was a real tight leaderboard coming down the stretch. So very enjoyable to watch as a big golf fan. I got nothing against JJ Spahn. He lost the players in a playoff earlier this year to Rory McIlroy. So he knew he could hang in there with some of the big boys, and he did just that. And it was awesome to see him make that putt.
Heck of a
last
putt.
Hole, because yeah. All he needed to do was two putt. And he's like, he went all Happy Gilmore. I'll just make it.
Let's make it.
And actually, he caught a huge break with Victor Hovland's ball being about a foot away outside his ball and Victor being out. So Victor putted first, and he got to see everything about that putt. That was a blessing in disguise, because there was no guarantee he was going to two putt that.
Yeah.
Very fun open to watch. A lot of big boys didn't make the cut. A lot that did weren't in contention. And then the biggest name in contention was probably Adam Scott. And he was probably the fan favorite yesterday. Just one of the more likable guys in golf. One-time major champ. He won the Masters. Should have won a British Open years ago and kind of collapsed. But he still hangs in there in his 40s. So,
I saw a guy on Twitter complaining that it was so hard for the golfers. And I'm thinking, isn't that kind of fun though?
Because it's fun.
It's got to be boring to see guys shoot 20 under par for a tournament every single week.
Watch guys struggle. Look what they do to John Deere every year. And you've been to that course, and you know that's not an easy course than a normal human. And they tear that thing up unlike any course on tour.
I thought I was going to drop dead of a heart attack just walking to the first hole. It was so hilly.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. My boy Ricky's in the field this year for the first time since 2010 because he needs opportunities to get wins. But actually, there's quite a few names getting in it this year that haven't been in a while, which is great for the John Deere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. But one more major next month. It's the middle of July, and then you'll have FedEx Cup in August and Ryder Cup in September. And we'll see whatever happens, if anything, with this potential merger between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, which now I think's got pushed further back. I mean, earlier this year, it looked like it was going to happen. Now I don't know.
Yeah.
So a lot of LIV contracts coming up, though. So
it'll
be interesting. But I am going to the LIV event in August when they come down to Westfield in Indiana. So I'm going to go check that out. So, yeah. So, but enjoyable U.S. Open. I like the carnage. I thought it was fun.
Nice change.
Guys literally are in the bunker and are trying to hit it just 15 yards out in certain spots to get it back in the fairway and can't do it.
Yeah.
Or they're in the rough and they're literally hitting 2 feet. I mean, it's just, you had it hit in the fairway.
What is it? The rough was like 5 inches compared to three.
Yeah.
It's usually around three.
I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I would love to see even good golfers with low handicaps, amateurs,
just amateurs,
play that in that setup, back tees and everything, see what they can shoot. I know Riggs from Barstool Sports, from Foreplay, their golf podcast, he's a 4 handicap, and he shot a 106 a week or two ago there. So there's no way I'm such a bad putter, especially this year. This year's the worst putting year of my life so far. My short game's not good as is. I don't hit a lot of fairways. My irons are my strength, but can't do anything out 5-inch rough, no matter who you are with irons. I'm probably struggling to shoot breaking 140 there with that setup.
Yeah.
Honest to God. So
I'd like to see you do it.
Yeah. I'd be game. Especially if I didn't have to pay for it.
But
but
Any more golf thoughts?
I don't think so. I mean, the golf season keeps rolling on. Yeah. Travelers Championship, which, I mean, it's not a major, but it's a decent tournament this week. And then you'll have, I'm trying to think, John Deere will be coming up. That's not a big one, but Rocket Mortgage will be coming up. But then the Open in mid next month. So,
yeah. Blind ranking time.
All right.
Not topical at all. this list. I struggled to come up with anything this week. So I just took five Indiana Hoosier basketball players.
Oh, great.
And you can rank them however you want based on hatred or.
Oh, it's hatred. I'm going hatred.
I figured. starting with Yogi Ferrell.
Ooh. I just watched a video on him today.
I didn't hate Yogi.
I didn't hate him. Yeah. He was a nuisance, though, because he would hit big shots.
He was good.
And he was he was good. He was, was he Mr. Basketball? I think he was Mr. Basketball. I don't really remember. I'm going to put him at four.
Okay. I think you'll have all the majority of these guys above him anyway, okay. As far as hatred goes. Dane Fife.
Ugh. I mean, I was young, but man, he was dirty. I've never seen a dirtier player at IU. And he's just been kind of a D-bag as a coach, too. Assistant coach, too. I mean, he was technically a Purdue assistant coach for 2 weeks. It was just never officially announced. He had an office and everything, and then went to Michigan State instead. Was after he was the head coach at IPFW, which is now Purdue Fort Wayne. I'm going to go two.
Okay. Will Sheehy.
The one. So arrogant. Yeah. And a good player, but he was like the fourth best on that team.
I don't even know if I'd put him there. He's like a bench guy.
Then when some of those guys, he started.
Did he?
He started. But I think after those guys, after Zeller and Oladipo left, then he had to be more of the main guy. And he wasn't.
Yeah. I remember, did he have an and one or a dunk at Purdue and he did the whole.
Yes. I thought our good buddy Evan Webb was going to come out of the stands, the top tier of Mackey Arena, and go on the floor. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen Evan so mad at a player. Yeah.
DJ White.
You know, I'm going to put him at five. Okay. I feel like you have another heavy hitter. His clapping was more annoying than anything.
Yeah. Those IU teams were kind of forgettable because they were okay, but they weren't anything special.
They were going to be real good.
They were.
But Samson, he had an interesting cast of characters on that roster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, he did. Last one here, Cody Zeller.
All right. I'll put him at three. Honestly, if I had to redo it, I'm putting Yogi at five, Cody at four, DJ at three. I'm good with my first two.
I didn't hate Cody either, even though he was on really good teams. He wasn't. I mean, he was good, but
wasn't arrogant though.
He wasn't. He's just kind of went about his business. I didn't hate it. I don't dislike your list at all. I think it's pretty solid.
Really, those IU teams like the Oladipo Zeller years. They were annoying to us because they were good. They didn't really have too many. I mean, okay, Sheehy was one, but they didn't have too many cast of characters that were overly arrogant on those teams like they've had since.
Yeah. Yeah. Dippo wasn't arrogant at all. I didn't like Watford. Watford was prime at least. Him or Holes.
I didn't like Holes. I didn't.
Were prime at least favorite on that team, but they weren't. All that I just didn't like them because they were Indiana and they were really good.
Right.
But I wouldn't say the players were all that unlikable like they have been, even as you said, even recently have been.
Yeah.
Good list there.
Yep.
Or good rank, I should say.
Good list by you. And that is the Blind Ranking segment, which is brought to you by a Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2025, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. And I didn't give you much time to talk baseball, Jamie. Right. I apologize because there was a huge trade that went down in MLB yesterday.
There was it was out of nowhere in the fact we didn't really hear that it's getting close. It's not out of nowhere in the fact that it happened. But Rafael Devers, yeah, Red Sox superstar, traded to the San Francisco Giants for a haul. Giants are picking up his entire remaining salary, which is over $300 million. And it is a trade that I think a lot of people thought would happen eventually with Devers getting traded. It started this offseason with them signing Alex Bregman, you know, an all-star, a gold glove third baseman. Devers said, I'm not moving from third. Devers is the worst defensive third baseman in the league. Said, I'm not moving from third. And they're like, okay, we're putting you at DH. Made him mad. Their starting first baseman blew out his knee in April. And so they asked Devers, can you please play first? And he said, nope, not playing first. So he is a me first, selfish teammate on the surface. And I think the trade had probably been in the works for like a month at this point. It finally just kind of went through. And Red Sox did pretty good in the haul they got back, I think. But still, you trade, you know, a young superstar level hitter in Devers after trading Chris Sale for nothing, after trading Mookie Betts for nothing. Red Sox fans are mad, as they should be. And the Giants picked up.
And they started playing good baseball the last 2 weeks.
I think they took 3 of 4, or at least 2 of 3 from the Yankees.
They swept them.
Okay, never mind. I knew they took a couple, at least.
Wow.
They swept the Yankees over the weekend, playing good baseball. And, you know, they have a new regime in the front office there, newer. Craig Breslow's in his second year as president of baseball ops. He was with the Cubs before that. Obviously wants a pretty big culture shift if he's shipping off, you know, an all-star level player in Rafael Devers. But now he's with the Giants, and the Giants are really good. They're a game behind the Dodgers. They needed offense, and man, he can slot in there and hit a bunch of balls in that short porch into McCovey Cove out there. So very, very good trade, and I applaud the Giants for making that sort of trade, because that's a big risk, and they're going for it. So I definitely applaud them for doing that.
Yeah, a buddy of mine that's a Red Sox fan tweeted right after it happened, I feel like my head's going to explode.
Yeah, Red Sox fans were mad, as they should be, because that's a trade you don't make. Yeah. But they did, and so it looks like, you know, it's been rough. I saw stupid Red Sox fans tweet, and a big-name Red Sox fan, Jared Carab something, who was former Barstool guy, said.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Nope. Yeah, it's no one has it worse, or it's I should just pull it up. He said it's harder to root for the Red Sox than anything, or something like that. And I'm thinking, they won 4 titles in 20 years, man. And then a Pirates fan tweeted at him and said, the Red Sox have more world titles since 2000 than the Pirates have winning seasons, man. Shut up. So it doesn't hurt my, or it doesn't break my heart to see the Red Sox struggle. No. But around baseball here real quick, Cubs had a decent week, went 4-3, lost 2-3 to the Phillies, but then took 3 of 4 from the Pirates. Cubs offense is starting to struggle, but it's good that they continue to win games because their pitching has been so good here recently. They had the worst bullpen in the league first 3 weeks of the year, and since then they have the number one bullpen in the league. They threw 14 innings over the weekend and only gave up 1 run, which is pretty incredible job. But over their last 10 games at Wrigley, they're only averaging 2.89 runs per game. They're 8-2. In those 10 games. So they're still getting it done. A lot of it has to do with the climate at Wrigley. It's weird. Last year, Wrigley played as the most pitcher friendly park in baseball. And this year it is playing as the most pitcher friendly park in baseball. And we haven't seen the wind blow out at all. It's been cold at Wrigley. Even into June, there were games where, you know, first pitch is in the 50s and it's more in June. This week, it sounds like, because it's supposed to be, as we said, close to 90, there's a Twitter account called Wrigley Winds that gives what the wind is at Wrigley awesome. every single game. So I like to look to see what he's saying. And he says in his forecast, it should blow out about all week. So hopefully we'll see some more runs here at Wrigley. But 16 games over 500, 5.5 game lead in the division, which is the second largest division lead in baseball behind the Detroit Tigers, who has a 9-game lead. But other than that, it's June. Got a long time to go.
Yep, long time to go. Not even think about the trade deadline. That's why the blockbuster trade yesterday was so surprising.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, trade season's starting, and I don't think we'll see another deal made until July. I think it was just a rare case of rare case for that trade to be made.
Well, the birdie or bogey, there's been one player in MLB history that has won a batting title in three different decades. Name that player.
Oh, man. Three different decades. I have no idea. I'm going to choose a guy that played forever, and that's Eddie Murray.
Really good guess.
Shoot.
No. One more stab at it?
I don't think Tony Gwynn did it in 2000. But not Tony Gwynn. Okay. I'm okay with those two guesses.
George Brett.
Ah, that's a
1976, man. 1980, shoot. And 1990. He hit 333 in 76, 390 in 1980, and 329 in 1990.
Man, that's a good question. I didn't even think George Brett, and I should have thought George Brett. I guess I didn't realize he played that long into the 90s.
I didn't either.
Or at least win a title in the 90s. So, great question. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. We will have an NBA champ by then, and we can preview the NBA draft. Why not? Have a fantastic week, everybody.